Good morning to all of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. I also do want to welcome all the visitors that are here with us. It is a privilege to have you all here. And I hope that you all have been blessed by being here also. I have a few papers I would like to pass around. Probably some of you might guess that we were going to be concluding the series of sermons on Psalm 23. So I'm going to ask Brother Roy and Doug, if you all could pass these things around, please. I think I made enough copies for everybody can read. All those that know how to read. Make sure I didn't send my notes with y'all. For those of you that are visiting here, we have been, this is the third message I have on Psalm 23, and we are comparing this Psalm 23 with some burdens. I don't know, probably if y'all remember the picture that my dad drew on the board for me of a man carrying a bunch of bags, luggage. And if you remember, he was kind of smiling on the board, but he was supposed to be very tired. And I don't know if you are tired of carrying burdens with you. But here in Psalm 23, the most familiar passage of the Bible by the whole world, we find reasons for rest, reasons why we should get rid of some of that baggage. And we already went through 1 through 12 on the burden, so I decided to print them out because it's hard for us to remember all those 17 points. And some of these points were already mentioned throughout the service this morning. I was amazed. I think Gary got an extra one over there. Roy, thank you. And I hope you don't get tired of Psalm 23, because I'm not. So he has become one of my favorite passages as I have studied for these sermons, and I really have enjoyed it. And the question comes to mind is, how long have we walked with these burdens on our shoulders? Can you notice that there is something better? Can you notice that Jesus is true whenever he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The title that I have titled this message is "The Good Shepherd." The Good Shepherd gives rest. The Good Shepherd gives rest. Because that's the whole point of these messages, is that we can find rest from all these burdens that we carry around. When I went to Nicaragua in November last year, I enjoyed it very much. And there was a brother there that he liked to talk. And I think we find a lot of people, different cultures, that like to talk. And Hispanics are good at that. We found a Hispanic at the job this last week that he likes to talk. But this man in Nicaragua, his name was Lionel. And he was telling me a story. Whenever some of his relatives have sent some 2 sacks of beans for him. They live out there in the bushes, in the mountains, they call it, in La Montaña. And they have sent 2 big sacks of beans for him. And they send word to him to meet at the bus terminal, which it was probably, I will guess, 4 miles from his place. He lived up the mountain. And he got there, and sure enough, they had sent the 2 sacks of beans for him. But he didn't have money to pay the bus fare or pay somebody to haul him to his house. Remember, it's 4 miles up the road. So he didn't know what to do, but you know what I did? He said, I grabbed 1 sack and carried it a good ways, put it down, went back and got the other one, put it on my shoulder, and walked past the one I had dropped and carried a little further up the road, went back and got the other one, and he finally made it home. He said, "Boy, I was tired," he said. I mean, he was not a very big man, but there he was carrying these burdens with him. And whenever he got home, he was tired. Well, as we make a comparison with ourselves, many times we carry all these burdens and we don't want to let them go, and we will get tired. I'd like to jump right into number 13. Number 13, you have it on your papers there, is the burden is enemies. And this can be a lot of different enemies. The book I got these things from, it had one specific enemy. I decided to put just enemies. And that can be a lot of things. We had mentioned many enemies that we have. I was looking over the list here, and I think all this baggage that we have been talking about are enemies of our souls. Except the last one. The last one we get there in a few minutes here. But all of the other ones are extra baggage that God wants us to get rid of. And you, we get this, the reason for rest is Psalm 23 verse 5. "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies." At this point in the psalm, David is thinking when the shepherd had taken his sheep up onto the highlands in search for green pastures. Remember the pasture who had got kind of slim in the lowlands. And so they started walking. Some of the shepherds would take journey, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months. And they would take the sheep through those dangerous valleys and those big drop-offs. And they would try to get to the highlands. So think about David. He's looking at this. Whenever he found a pasture that he said, "Okay, we're going to let the sheep graze here." So the shepherd will look across this field and he will wonder, is there any trace? He will look for any trace of enemies like bears. Maybe he will look to the ground. I don't even know how they did it, but somehow or another, maybe they could sense if there had been a bear there or a lion. Or he saw maybe there were a lot of thorns in that area. Or maybe some poisonous plants. But it's impressive to me that what I found is that they look for holes in the ground. They look for a round hole in the ground where a poisonous snakes will live in. And whenever the shepherd found these holes, he will squirt oil in the hole, make it slippery for the snakes to come out. He also put oil in the sheep's nose because he repelled the snakes. In essence, the shepherd was preparing a table for the sheep in the presence of all the enemies. And here we have, Lord is our shepherd. And he prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Maybe you can turn to John 21. I'm probably not going to read the whole story here. But here in John 21, we have the story after Jesus had risen from the dead. And seven of his disciples decided to go fishing that day. And they didn't catch anything that night. John 21, verse 1. "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples." Seven disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, "I go fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And you know the rest of the story. that Jesus comes by the seashore and say, "Hey, do you have anything to eat? You have any fish?" And John tells Peter, "Hey, Peter, that is the Lord." And Peter jumps into the water and grabs his clothes because he had disposed of his clothes. Probably it was hot and humid that night. And I just started to thinking about Peter. Just think about Peter. He knew what he had done. He had denied the Lord 3 times. And the tremendous guilt that he had. The tremendous shame that he had. And I don't know exactly why Peter would decide to go fishing. But it makes me think maybe Peter thought the Lord don't want anything to do with me anymore. And those enemies of his soul started coming to him, to his mind. But you know what? When everything is said and done here, Jesus prepared a good breakfast for them. Verse 12, Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of his disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that he was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Jesus prepared a table for his disciples in the midst of their own enemies. They had fears. They had doubts. They had shame, especially Peter. Can you imagine? And that's whenever Jesus asked Peter those questions. Those 3 times he asked his questions. "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" And you know the story. But the point that I would like to notice is that Jesus prepared a table for Peter and his friends. Think also on the many times that Saul just about had David at the end of the spear. And God provided a table. God provided an escape for David. Some of those are miracles. Miracles like that time whenever Saul was sleeping. And David and Abishai, I believe it was, that went down. And nobody woke up. Nobody sensed that they were walking around. And they come right beside Saul. They take the spear. And I think it was a water jug that they took along. God had prepared a table before him. Now think about all the times that you have failed yourself in the presence of your enemies. Maybe we struggle with different enemies of our souls. Maybe it can be fear, it can be doubt, and it can be all kind of these things. But you know what? A lot of times, God prepares a table for us. Many times we can see the hand of God providing for us. Many times we see God providing a table for us. Is there need to worry? No, there's no need to worry. That's right. There's no need to worry because God provides a table before us. Number 14. The burden that we have here is hurts. And this goes very, very well with the Sunday school lesson that we studied this morning. Number 14 there, and the reason for get rid of this burden is that the Lord Jehovah, remember the number one, the Lord Jehovah, the self-existing one, he anointed my head with oil, is what David said. Shepherds use oil for 3 different purposes. Now listen carefully to this. I don't know how much oil they carry with them. But it seemed like they carried quite a bit. But they used it for 3 purposes. One was to repel the insects and repel the snakes. We already mentioned that. Number 2 was to prevent wounds. And number 3, it was to cure the wounds. In my studies about this subject, found out that insects can kill sheep. Can you imagine that? Especially a kind of fly. There's a kind of fly that will lay eggs in the tender membranes of the nose of the sheep. If they lay eggs in that part of the nose of the sheep, you know what happens to the eggs? They hatch and they turn into larvae. And they squirm around, and that would drive the sheep crazy. They say they will bang their heads against the stones. They will bang their heads against the trees. Any bush that could find, they will bang their heads, and they will drive them crazy. They forget to eat. They can't even sleep. And of course, the lambs, if they got this in the lambs got this in their nose, they won't even eat. They will not grow. They will quit nursing. The whole flock would be dispersed and could perish just for the presence of some flies. So that's why the shepherds would anoint the sheep with some oil repellent. And that way the animals could be in peace. Now remember, the second reason, the first reason was to repel insects. The second reason is to prevent some wounds. During the mating season, the rams will fight. They will butt heads against each other to fight for the sheep. So that they will cause tremendous damage against themselves. And the shepherd will anoint the heads of the rams to make them slippery. That way, whenever they will butt heads, they will slip and they will not lock horns with each other. I thought that was pretty interesting. But with all the preventions the shepherds did, there was always some wounds. I mean, there was the sheep, sometimes they step on thorns and they got it in the flesh and their foot. They had scratched. The rams, I mean, some they will get hurt. So that every day the shepherd would look out for the sheep or his flock. And he would try to find these wounds, and he would anoint them with oil, trying to heal them. That way the wounds would not become infected. Now, I don't know if you made any spiritual applications to this yet. Insects, something small, but I couldn't believe that they could even kill the sheep. They're so destructive for the sheep. There are many little things that tend to bother us. It could be some little comments we overheard. Maybe it could even be something the preacher said. It could be something that some brother maybe thought that he said. We don't like it, and it drives us crazy. And if we let it lay an egg on us, it drives us crazy, and we can't be at peace, and we can't even sleep. And we can't talk peaceably to our brethren like Joseph's brothers did. Colossians 3 verse 12 says like this. Here is the oil that God wants to pour upon our heads. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Is there reason that we need to let those little things bother us? And sometimes we kind of like the rams. The rams were butting heads in disagreements and different opinions, different points of view that we have, don't quite see it the same way as you do. Remember the oil, God's oil. You probably noticed the verses that we just read in Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13, forbearing one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In the next verse, if we follow Colossians 3, verse 14, says like this, and above all these things, above everything else, above all the bowels of mercy, above all the kindness, above all the humbleness of mind, above all meekness, above all long-suffering, above all forbearing one another. He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. God's oil wants us to prevent further damage whenever we disagree. And how do we do that? It's through love. We have to share our opinions. We all have different opinions, and we need to share them. We need to listen to each other, but with charity. And the third reason that the shepherd had his oil was because some did get hurt. And the oil helped to heal the wounds. Hurts. We all have experienced them. Some of us more than others. Some of you more than me. We all have experienced some kind of hurts in our lives. Joseph's life. We can talk about Joseph's life. And all the hurts that he went through, all that rejection that he experienced from his own family, how in the world can you overcome that? How? God's oil. God's oil is sufficient to heal those things. Luke 4 verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And you remember what Jesus said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled before your eyes." Jesus is still healing. He still wants to pour his oil upon our heads to heal us. One more observation. Just think about the sheep. Whenever they went to the shepherd would see a wound on their heads, especially the rams, and he would try to get them to him. What did the sheep have to do for this to be effective? They had to lower their heads and hold still and let the shepherd do his work. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to bow our heads before our God. "And humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God," says in 1 Peter 5, 6, "that he may exalt you in due time." God wants to be us to be humble before him, to let him do his work in us. But no, we like this bag, we like this burden that is called hurts. Somehow or another, it makes us feel better, I guess. To reminisce all the hurts that that person did to me. To think of all the ugly things that that person said about me. And we go over and over and we feed on that. And don't forget, that can turn into a root of bitterness. Whenever God is saying, "Get rid of that. I got oil that I want to anoint you with." The next, number 15, is envy. We already noticed that in Joseph's brothers, they had envy. They were full of envy towards Joseph. You probably remember I had a message about this subject in October, I believe it was. You remember the story of Mario? Mario's envy? God chasing Mario for his envy. Envy means to bear a grudge towards someone due to coveting what that person has or enjoys. That's exactly what the brothers were jealous. They were envious toward Joseph because Joseph was enjoying the blessing of his father, his approval of his father, the approval of his father. And they covet that because they were not enjoying that. If they would humble themselves and forsake their ugly ways, their sinful ways, they could experience that. But they were not willing to do that. Proverbs 14 verse 30 said, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." You like to have rotten bones? I don't. Nobody does, right? Nobody does. But that's how envy is. Envy would be like if bones are rotten. When are we going to learn to rejoice with them that do rejoice? When are we going to learn to love others whenever they get ahead of us? When are we going to learn to count the blessings that God has given me? My cup runneth over, David said. And I know David went through struggles after struggles to understand God's ways. But he comes to this conclusion in Psalm 23 that, you know what, I don't care what, how much I'm suffering, how much I'm going through, I have a cup and it's full and it's running over. Romans 5 verse 20 says, but that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Does that sound like an overflowing cup? It does to me. Listen to this verse, 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Exceeding abundant. That is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could think of God's mercy. We could think of God's love, His goodness and blessings. We are so blessed. We are blessed beyond what we deserve. One more observation is very interesting. I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes a beautiful application. In this time of the Old Testament, it said that the people use this, the host, you know, the host that has company, has their guest, and they use it to say, to make or send signals to the guest. The host would keep their cup, the guest's cup, full if they were enjoying the company. If they wanted, yeah, I want you to stay, keep filling that cup up to the brim, right? But if they were getting tired of the company and said, the guest, well, this is the time for you to go, they left it empty. And hopefully the guest will catch the hint. Oh, my cup is empty. I guess it's time to go. But he said that whenever the host really wanted that guest to stay, he said that he will fill it up until it ran over. So to me, that's a beautiful application. Because you know what? If you look closely at your table, you will find out that it's wet. Because God is enjoying communion with you. God wants you to stay at His table. And to me, that's a beautiful picture. Your cup is full and running over. Plenty to start sharing with others. Number 16. We have a burden here. It is doubt. Many times we doubt the goodness of God. Many times we wonder where God is, especially when things don't go our way. And I really enjoyed that devotion that Brother Paul had with us this morning. And we'll fit it in this point here. Notice first, the first word that David says, surely. David knew the promises of God. David did not say, perhaps the goodness and mercy of God will follow me all the days of my life. Maybe His goodness will follow me. He says, surely, surely. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. God is faithful. Surely His goodness and mercy. Just think about this beautiful picture of the shepherd leading the sheep. Most of the time the shepherd went ahead of the sheep because the sheep cannot be pushed. They need to, they follow. So the shepherd would go out front leading the sheep. And can you imagine maybe two big German shepherds out there behind the flock? Make sure all the sheep are going. Those two big guards, we can name them as goodness and mercy. Those are the big guard dogs that God has that we need. As someone wrote, goodness to supply all of our needs. Mercy to forgive all our sins. Goodness provides. mercy forgives. And David knew that these things shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Where is God? He's right there, Paul. And everyone. Where is God? Where is the goodness of God? He's right there. Luke 15 verse 4 says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And you know the story. When he finds it, he comes and rejoices. What a beautiful picture. I'm going to dare to say that no matter where you are in your spiritual journey with God, I am convinced that His goodness and mercy are right there offering you forgiveness. Not that God is going to overlook your sin, but His goodness and mercy will follow you. And if every time I have gone astray, the good shepherd will go and will find me and bring me back. Right there is God. Right there with us. All the days of our lives. And number 17. The last one we have here. Like I said, all of the above, 1 through 16, are burdens that we need to get rid of. Number 17 is a bag that is okay if we carry. Nostalgia for home. Homesickness. Longing to be there. God doesn't mind if we carry this bag with us. We all know that this earthly home is not our final dwelling place. The memory passage. We said it all together. There, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared them a city. We're just passing through here, brethren. We're going to a home. This is not our home. Notice this quote I found. The greatest calamity is not feeling far from home. Sometimes we feel far from home. And we say, when are we going to get there? That's not the greatest calamity. The greatest calamity is when we feel at home when we're far from it. That's so true. That's the greatest calamity, whenever we feel just right at home here. And we don't want to leave our stuff and our things and nothing. We're just enjoying life here. And that is fine if we are enjoying life here. I'm not promoting an unrest in our congregation. But I am promoting a longing for home. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17, Paul says like this, "For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And it's fine, brothers and sisters. We fill this bag full of nostalgia for home. It will be fine. But you know what? One day, whenever we get there, we're going to drop that bag of those gates that Brother Uncle Jerry was talking about. We're going to drop that bag of homesickness because we finally will make it there. What a glorious expectation that we have. I don't know what you think about all these burdens. And you can keep them with you. And my prayer is that we will get to know the shepherd that wants to give us rest. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's kneel for a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We just want to say thank you for being our shepherd. Lord, there's so many truths that we could continue to dig out of Psalm 23. And we thank you, O God, for the deliverance that we can find in you. So many times, O God, we have carried these burdens with us. And we wonder why we get so tired. And Lord, this morning I just want to pray that you will minister to each one of us. If there will be anybody here, O God, that is carrying these burdens, will you help them to see that you offer rest? Help us, O God, to find you because you are right there. Help us, O God, to see you. And we thank you for your goodness and mercy that can follow us and guarding us until we reach your heavenly place. Thank you so much that you have promised a home for us. We're not home yet, God, and help us to remember that, that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Help us to seek that country, seek that home. Lord, help us to live with you. Just bless each one that was here this morning. Thank you so much, O God, for ministering to us. And may your name receive honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.